I have a couple titles with the Forest Preserve District. One of the titles is Director of Golf. I've been involved in one way or another with our golf properties for over 30 years now. But the Forest Preserve District gets to do a lot of things beyond just golf. We have 60 properties in total, and I also have the title of Executive Advisor. So I'm part of the executive leadership team that has our hands on really all the conservation efforts that we do across DuPage County.
So your role is taking on, I think, additional impact this year with all of the storms what we had. Like you talk about, you have three different properties. One of them seems kind of correlated directly to this. So can you talk a little bit about the work that was done at the preserve at Oak Meadows when you kind of like rebuilt it from the ground up? But it seems like when you did it was with this intent to be able to survive, like weather and water. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, you're absolutely right. When I started the district, I showed up as an assistant golf pro at what used to be the Elmhurst Country Club. It became known as Oak Meadows for many years as a public golf course. And one of the features of Oak Meadows is a mile and a quarter of Salt Creek running through the middle of the property. And what we learned is that really over the years, Salt Creek used to be less of a feature on the property and more of a potential detriment because of continued development upstream and storm pressure created a lot of flooding problems for the facility. And as the whole Chicago region got more developed, those flooding pressures got even worse. And we used to see floodwaters accumulate on tees, greens, fairways, all the places that you didn't want to see storm water. And we ended up with damage for quite some time. We hit this crossroads as we got into about 2010, 2011, where we realized we had to make a decision whether we could even stay in golf with that property or if we had to really do something to go another direction. And we decided at that time that maybe we could improve the golf and improve our stormwater management for the benefit of not only golf, but for the community as well. So we ended up breaking ground in 2015 on a renovation project that was much more than just a golf project. It was really a preserve renovation project that happened to include a golf course in it. And along the way, working with architect Greg Martin, we set some lofty goals of identifying as many benefits as we could achieve beyond just golf. And we found that we could actually increase the stormwater storage on that property not just manage it, but in fact hold more stormwater there instead of downstream residents' basements, businesses, and backyards, while also building the rest of the golf features, the fairways, the tees, the greens, up high and dry and better connect them to the floodplain, to the wetlands, restore prairie areas, and create really a higher quality experience overall, both for the golfer and for the stormwater management and the habitat areas.
So anybody who's visited the preserve at Oak Meadows, I think, is sees that you accomplished all three of those because it's such a wonderful facility. It's a grade A in terms of the how the way the course is managed, but it's also very unique. When you sat down with Greg Martin to come up with this idea and said, "This is what we're facing," and especially someone who had been there that long, did you expect that you'd be able to kind of fulfill it? Because you had to be used to all the flooding that happened years after years after years. It had to be some skepticism on your part.
Yeah, there certainly was. I think you develop your battle scars over the years from flood after flood and repairing damage. And when we sat down and Greg started showing us routings, and I saw golf being played in areas that I knew were flood prone for decades, I said, "Greg, we can't have golf here. We know this area floods." But ultimately, that design happens not just in length and width of fairways, but it happens in 3D. It happens in depth too. And what I learned was that through moving 700,000 cubic yards of earth into various areas, there are now centers of fairways that are 6 feet higher than they used to be on a hole like hole 7 and where our hole 16 is. The movement of the topography helped us really manage the stormwater to get it where it wants to be, which is in wetlands and floodplain and not in fairways. So yes, there was originally this belief that anything we did that was going to help hold stormwater would of course hurt the golf, but Greg and the engineers proved that wrong. They proved that, in fact, there could be a symbiotic relationship between what we do for holding stormwater and playing golf, that each one making the other better rather than having conflicting outcomes.
One of the things that I've was surprised after talking with Greg, I also talked to Todd Quitno about this, the importance of sunlight and air exposure on a golf course. Now, at the Preserve at Oak Meadows, there's you have trees and things, but there's a lot of that. Seems like there's a lot of sunlight, a lot of places where air could come in. Was that part of the design element to say we need to be able to get airflow through these holes and in specific areas?
Absolutely. Certainly grass doesn't grow in the shade. We know that. And, the trees can be a tremendous feature, but they need to be the right trees and in the right locations and still not only get airflow and sunlight to the turf, but also there are opportunities to open up sight lines and vistas across the property. And I think one of the things that really got exposed during the Oak Meadows project was a lot of a lot of the junk trees, a lot of the things that are more invasive and not necessarily the quality native trees that belong in a northern Illinois landscape, got removed, especially along the river corridor. And suddenly, there were long sight lines, and not only could the air move, but your eye can move through the property, and it really improves the experience.
So I want to pivot then to another one of your properties. This is one of the ones that really was surprising. I've lived here my entire life, but I really hadn't played much at Green Meadows. And I've played there 3 times this year. I just played yesterday, and I really love the layout. It's you have 3 par 4s to start off with, and then 6 par 3s. But what struck me when I first played it at the beginning of summer was the quality, especially of the greens. It's like really kept very much like at top level standards, comparable to your other 2 properties. Can you talk a little bit about like the audience for Green Meadows and what you try to accomplish with that course?
Sure. Well, I love that we have Green Meadows in our group of golf courses as DuPage Golf and as the Forest Preserve District, because it helps us really kind of stretch out the audience that we do serve. When I started here with the district, I think there used to be a perception, Walter, that Green Meadows was just for seniors or just for juniors. And while it's certainly at just under 2,000 yards, a great fit for the seniors and juniors. We've had other golfers, more accomplished and experienced golfers, discover that it can be a really nice alternative to going and just hitting a bucket of balls somewhere, right? Range time is important, but when you can actually get out on the golf course, play some par fours, some par threes, and work on potentially every shot in your game and still get around in about an hour and 15, hour and 20 minutes instead of that comparable time, maybe standing on a range mat somewhere. It's a great experience and really, I think, a great practice opportunity as well as a playing opportunity. So we've seen the audience at Green Meadows really expand in recent years, particularly post-COVID. We all recall that period of time where there were no carts allowed during the COVID restrictions, and everyone was carrying their own bag or trying to find a pull cart, which was hard to find, and it was really kind of interesting. We had players who maybe played the Preserve at Oak Meadows or Maple Meadows that had never considered going to Green Meadows before. But suddenly, when they had to carry their own bag during that stretch or otherwise, they suddenly decided maybe I'll try the 2,000-yard golf course. They hadn't maybe carried their bag in a while. And suddenly they found that, yeah, there's a really nice experience there. With quality conditions, but it's a more affordable price point. It's a quicker experience, and it makes it approachable for a pretty broad audience of people.
Yeah, I can concur with that. I think it's a great course to walk, right? Because there's some hills and there's elevation changes which are somewhat surprising, but there's so many different types of holes, and even though there's 6 par 3s to end it, they're all a little bit different, but big huge greens and really good conditioning. Can you talk a little bit about how you approach conditioning? Because that's a lot of effort. How are you able to kind of manage all that with 3 different courses?
I will pr appreciate the feedback and the it starts with having a small but talented team there. Tony, who oversees the day-to-day operations, works pretty closely with Luke. Luke Striney is our golf maintenance manager for all three properties. And I think getting to the answer of the question you're asking, we found that there was a past era where each of our three properties was managed very separately. They were almost on separate islands, separate staffs. And what we've done is, under a manager like Luke, we've brought that maintenance operation under common management so that we can share best practices across three properties. We can share equipment at times. There's just great efficiency to having a more holistic look at your portfolio under someone's management than to operate as separate islands. So I think Green Meadows, which otherwise a small course, fewer resources as you might imention, would be out defending for itself to try to watch disease pressure, try to watch purchase opportunities on turf products. And now, when we actually roll all three up together and take a collective look at even how we manage equipment, how we purchase, and what our practices are going to be, it lets us really bring up the quality of a course that otherwise would be maybe short on staff and short on resources.
So let's segue now into Maple Meadows. Maple Meadows is a course that I always considered to be a top-level course. And then you decided that you were going to do this renovation because all courses eventually get there. Can you talk a little bit about what you're trying to accomplish with this renovation?
Yeah, absolutely. We're having a lot of fun with the Maple Meadows reservation, excuse me, renovation, other than the weather, as we know. Certainly wet conditions don't help construction much, but we went into the Maple Meadows project recognizing that just like we experience as homeowners, where we know eventually our gutters are going to fail, our furnace needs to get replaced, and those other things need some upkeep. The infrastructure of a golf course, as you get to 25, 30 years in, cart paths need replacing, irrigation system starts to fail. And so we initially started to look at some fairly significant expenses just to keep what's under the hood operating so that we can maintain conditions there. When we started to realize we would have downtime for Maple Meadows, we got back together with Greg Martin and took the same approach we did with the preserve at Oak Meadows and said, what else can we accomplish? If we're going to have this downtime where our residents and our golfers are going to not be able to play due to maybe upgrades to cart paths and bunker drainage and that sort of thing, are there other opportunities we can address? And how can we position this golf course for the next 30 years? And as we started to look at the golf course, we realized that there were maybe bunkers that were out of place for where golfers hit it now and where they might hit it 5 years from now or 10 years from now. There were things that were slowing down the experience. We think of golf as a tee to green sort of adventure. How are we going to get the ball from the tee to the green? But that relationship from one green to the next tee can very much matter when it comes to pace of play. There's a residential community where we cross a private drive, and we had a routing that you had to cross it three times it to play 18 holes. And could we make it more efficient to get around the golf course, which translates to pace of play and quality of experience? So, long story short, we decided to look holistically at all the things we could maybe do to improve the golf. And then, being who we are as a Forest Preserve District, we said, for those areas that aren't in play for golf, what can we do to improve their ecological quality and make the habitat better overall for the community, communities of birds and wildlife that are also in the area. So we set those goals and the project's underway.
So with the summer that we've experienced, and I guess it's kind of been trending in a little bit, but this has obviously been an extreme summer. Seems like you were kind of the right person at the right time, your organization was, and especially to have somebody like Greg with the work that you did at the preserve at Oak Meadows, now what you're doing at Maple Meadows. Do you think this is the kind of the future where you as a golf course operator, you have to prepare for more extreme conditions now?
I think there's no doubt about that. I think we're seeing more extreme storms and need to be prepared for that, meaning that our drainage is been updated and irrigation system. All these things that take care of the infrastructure really, really matter when you are challenged with extreme weather. I think beyond that, we're seeing high demand for play. It's been sustained, and we've seen that throughout the country and certainly throughout the Chicago area. So when you have high traffic levels, as well as challenging conditions, it's really important that you make the investment to make sure that your product can really endure both of those things. But yeah, I think from a broader perspective too, part of what we really have appreciated about working with Greg was Greg's philosophy that the game of golf certainly can be good for golfers. It can be things that are fun and strategic about the game of golf, but golf courses can also help solve problems and bring benefit for the community beyond just golf. And I think as we continue forward in the decades ahead and consider the audience of golfers and residents in our communities, it's important that golf courses do more and address some of these issues in the community to continue to keep the game of golf really relevant and viable and resonating with the audiences that are coming in the eras ahead.
That's a really great point because it does kind of feed back to the community and can do a lot for the community. One of the other projects that Greg's worked on is Orchard Valley. They've been closed for almost 2 years. They're reopening very soon. And when you think about Maple Meadows closing a course to renovate it, one of the things that I would think from an operator's perspective is you're going to lose sort of outings or events that come to that. They're used to coming to your course. Now they're going to have to go somewhere else for a year or two. Did you think about that when you had to go through this undertaking? And then what's sort of the strategy to once you reopen Maple Meadows to kind of kickstart it so that you're kind of back in the flow and you get people coming out again?
Yeah, I think that's one of the trade-offs you're always going to have to make when you shut down and have some downtime. I think the golf industry is built on relationships, and I think it's relationships not just amongst the golfer and the golf course, but between golf course operators as well. I know Maple Meadows was a popular venue for golf outings, and one of the things that we made sure we did was not just notify these outing clients that we were going to shut down and good luck, hope you find somewhere. I know our team at Maple Meadows worked really closely with them to help them reach out to other golf courses, help them find other venues for that downtime. Certainly, that was for continuity on behalf of the outings, but that was to keep the relationship going as well. So, no doubt, some that have found other homes, I hope have had a great experience there, and they may continue on at some other venues. But I think we've got some outings that have called us home for 15, 20 years, and we're looking forward to some of those coming back and experience the new Maple Meadows as well. I think one of the benefits you get anytime you reopen is that there's the curiosity factor. I think whether it's the daily golfer, the league, or the outing, there's always a desire to go and experience the new Orchard Valley or the new Maple Meadows or new Preserve at Oak Meadows. I think the most important piece is again something that we've had a lot of conversation with Greg Martin about, which is provide a quality product. Because you can get anybody to a golf course once. Curiosity of what's the new course like will get them there once. But if you've done something that is engaging, that the benefits of what you've done resonates with people, you'll get them to keep coming back. And that's, I think, what eventually helps bring back the business that's been displaced for a year and a half.
I'd like to finish up with a couple questions, more so about the golf business and the industry. You mentioned about the demand, high demand continuing, that we're getting more and more golfers, and there's certain things that get thrown around as far as why. Certainly, I think the golf is now in Chicagoland. It used to be sort of a 9 month issue that we'd be playing, and then we get to winter, and you put the clubs away. Now with simulators. We've got over 100 simulators standalone in the Chicagoland area and continuing to grow. What do you think are the factors that's helped continue this demand that we're able to see and why golf is still popular and continues to grow?
Yeah, it's no one thing, Walter. I think there are a number of factors that have come to collide together and help boost golf in a way that I think is going to be sustained. You've hit on a couple of them, but certainly not lost on me. Here we are on the Zoom platform today, having a remote meeting, and as Sorry, the Zoom popped up a message. I was doing that. My apologies.
Yeah.
Here we are on the Zoom platform, and a lot of people, their work-life balance has changed. The way they work changed. The way they manage the time in their week has changed, and it's given greater flexibility to be able to schedule and get golf in as part of their life. I think that during COVID, we saw people really re-explore their relationship with again some work-life balance. As well as time spent in nature. We know, I think, one of the things that has always been a great part of golf, whether you're a single-digit handicap player or someone newer to the game, is that time spent outdoors has a value in the overall health equation for people. I know that we've seen this in golf, but broadly at the Forest Preserve District, prior to COVID, across our 60 properties, we used to track a little less than 4 million visitors a year. Since COVID and sustained since COVID, we now track nearly 6 million visitors a year. So I think in golf and beyond golf, people have just found that time spent outdoors is an important thing that adds to quality of life. So these are things driving the game. I love what's happening. I've been involved with the Illinois Junior Golf Association for quite a few years now. And to see the health of junior golf right now is really exciting. I think as people have looked at sports like football and other things that are played for a limited window, you've got concerns about concussions and that sort of thing. I think that today's youth golfer has discovered golf as being something that can be engaging, fun, but also be a life sport. And when I'm old enough that when I was playing high school golf, it wasn't that cool to sign up for the golf team, but golf certainly at this point enjoys a very, very different perception of being something that is cool to do from junior golfers. So I think that bodes well for sustaining that into the future.
That's a great point because I noticed that yesterday there was a high school, I don't know if it was a match or practice that was before us at Green Meadows. And there was a group of parents that were going with, it was the girls' teams, and they were going with them. And I thought, what a wonderful experience that the parents are walking with these girls as they're playing and they're sharing this time on the course, and the girls are sharing it between the teams. So I just thought, yeah, it was really a great thing, and it was such a beautiful night. So that kind of brings me to my final question. If you think look back on your career, what a wonderful, vibrant experience I would assume you've had, being a part, starting as a golf pro and then being a part of these wonderful facilities, not just golf though. It's like if anybody's ever been to the restaurant at the Preserve of Oak at Oak Meadows, it's gorgeous because it's got this greenery. You look out on this beautiful property and the food's great. We talked about the outings, how that is, you could have so many great memories with outings. I'm sure you have lots of weddings and other events. Is there anything that throughout your career that sort of stands out as something that you're proud of or kind of sticks with you, like, wow, that was really what a great moment to see it. Maybe it was the opening of the Preserve at Oak Meadows or the work you've done. I'm sure there's a lot to choose from, but is there anything that kind of stands out in that regard for you?
Gosh, I really, first of all, I appreciate the question and the kindness in which you framed it. I've been lucky to be somewhere that has had the land and the resources to do what we've been able to do. But I guess, yeah, part of what really stands out for me is that I think when I first got around Oak Meadows and around the Forest Preserve District, there was a lot of question about what on earth is a conservation agency doing in golf. There was this perception that golf was maybe a bit elitist, that golf was going to be overly maintained land and maybe not good for the landscape, and that was something contrary to a conservation mission. And when we got through the preserve at Oak Meadows, we very much were intentional about answering that question about how a mission of conservation and the recreation of golf can actually elevate one another. They can be compatible. They can really be something that elevates the experience of both. So we didn't do that to necessarily win awards, but when ultimately in the same time frame we got Renovation of the Year from Golf Inc. magazine on the golf side, and Chicago Wilderness also gave us a Force of Nature award, we got to see some of the naturalists and conservation folks here with the golf folks, and they haven't always traditionally been you've been side by side and things. So I think that was a great feeling to see that we could take this long-held belief that things that weren't compatible could actually work very well together.